Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Lighthouse Canton Insights Podcast. This series is brought to you by Lighthouse Canton, a global investment institution that provides wealth and asset management services to accredited investors. Here on this podcast, we'll look to shine a light on the market developments and share strategic insights to help you navigate the global investment landscape. In each episode, we'll be bringing you conversations from leading experts in various fields, including Lighthouse Canton's own investment team and specialists. This podcast was recorded on 27 September 2022 and was prepared based on the information available as of the date of recording. Please stay tuned to the important legal information at the end of this episode. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Lighthouse Canton Insights Podcast. For this episode, we have Lighthouse Canton's Global Head of Investment Advisory, Antoine Braque, sharing more on investment approaches and his perspective on what listeners can glean from this interview.
Welcome everyone to the inaugural episode of the Lighthouse Canton Insights Podcast. In today's episode, we will be sharing more on the markets and strategies that investors can leverage to optimize their portfolios and build resilience during turbulent markets. Our investments philosophy and approach looks beyond traditional asset classes, and in doing so, we endeavor to design portfolios that exhibit low correlation to economic cycles. Today, we will focus on why investors should look to incorporate actively managed strategies into their portfolios. Indeed, bonds and equities have become positively correlated, particularly in times of stress. As such, the combination of these two asset classes in the traditional 60-40 rule provides a false sense of diversification and can lead to large drawdowns and long recoveries. Actively managed strategies offer diversification beyond these traditional asset classes. At this point, it is important to remind investors that 95% of the stock pickers will underperform an ETF over 5 years, and it's paramount to only select the 5% of these managers who are able to bring value consistently. Many investors may not realize the potential of incorporating these managers into their portfolios. To illuminate this, we have brought in Kenny Arnott, founder of Arnott Capital, to share more about his strategy and the market outlook. Interviewing him is Tae Joon, Associate Vice President in our investment team here at Lighthouse Canton. So without further ado, here is Tae Joon and Kenny.
All right, thank you so much for the kind introduction, Antoine. Kenny, it's really a pleasure to have you with us here today. Thank you for taking your time off to speak with us on such a busy afternoon over there in Australia. Just to set the stage, I would like to start by saying that we are seeing a very high inflation environment today, and we can all agree that quantitative tightening globally is starting to accelerate. Effectively, there is fear that is brewing across the globe amongst many investors as the future of risk assets remains especially bleak. But despite these volatile markets, your fund, Arnott Opportunities Fund, is one of the managers we have on our platform who has played a pivotal role in helping our clients navigate the challenging investing environment. So just to help kind of shape context, as of August 2022 month end, your fund has delivered year-to-date positive returns of about close to 5%, which compares very favorably to, you know, how the MSCI World Index has performed. If you look at its performance today, it's down more than 22%. And going beyond that, if you look at how your fund has performed since its inception back in May 2013, your fund has annualized almost 23% in returns. Now, this is more than three times what the MSCI World Index has delivered in the same period. So your fund has clearly had a lot of success throughout these years, and we are really thrilled to have you here today to kind of talk more about your strategy. Perhaps we could also dive deeper into the contributors to your fund's success. And maybe towards the end of this podcast, you know, we would also like to pick your brains about how you think of markets going forward. So Kenny, would you like to start by giving a brief introduction about yourself and how Arnott Capital came to be?
Yeah, sure, TJ. Thanks. Thanks for the kind introduction. And thanks everybody for taking the time to listen today. It's a, we're really, really honored to be part of your investment portfolio and help you guys navigate difficult markets. I'm Kenny Arnott. I'm the founder of Arnott Capital. Before starting the fund, I initially worked out of Memphis for a commodity trader, Donovan Enterprises, working for a guy, Billy Donovan, whose uncle was coincidentally Paul Tudor Jones, a forebearer to the hedge fund industry. And then I moved from there, where really I learned the concept of asymmetric investing, went on to work for Macquarie Bank. It was also very, very important in the evolution of the strategy, particularly from a quantitative metric of setting barriers as to how we manage risk. And it was those two experiences which together formed the genesis for our asymmetric investing approach of the Arnott Opportunity Strategy, which was established in 1999 when Arnott Capital was also formed.
All right. Thank you so much for the kind introduction, Kenny. I think the next set of questions could be very helpful for our listeners in kind of better understanding what your strategy is about. So in difficult markets where every asset class seems to be essentially performing poorly, long short managers like yourself have been able to preserve capital. And in some instances, they have been even able to be delivering excess returns. So I find it amazing how you have actually generated an astounding alpha of about close to 30% over the MSCI World Index year to date. Now, could you share with us, how your strategy has played a role in your success?
Yeah, sure. Well, TJ, we're actually a global thematic investor that primarily expresses our ideas through equities and equity exposure. And hence, we do look somewhat like an equity long-short manager in profile. So the first benefit of being an equity long-short manager is around portfolio diversification. Unlike long-only strategies, which I'm sure a lot of your investors are familiar with, we are also looking to buy assets which are, we expect to go up and outperform. We also are buying companies we expect to go up and outperform. But on the other side of that, we're also investing in asset classes and stocks which we expect to underperform and go down. And that is a key differentiator between what we do and what a traditional long-only investor does, which allows us for a lot more flexibility in our investment approach when markets are more challenging as they are now.
Understood. Thanks, Kenny. And, I believe what you have just shared perhaps helps shed more light about what a long-short strategy is about. Now, I believe the concept of long-short is not really a stranger to many investors. In fact, if we look at markets today, I believe there are plenty of managers out there and competition is real. So what I would like to ask now is, what do you think differentiates your strategy from these managers out there? Perhaps if you could share what you think your competitive edge is.
Sure. I think our success can be attributed to focusing on asymmetric returns through our thematic investing approach. That may appear like more of a novel approach. As I mentioned in the genesis of how the product began, essentially it was what I was taught a long time ago and really has formed the combination of how the strategy evolved. It has four pillars, which number one is finding asymmetric themes. Clearly, the most important part of what we do. We have to find good ideas. We then invest in the best ideas within those themes. We always focus on macro drivers for risk and opportunities. Again, this is a crucial differentiator, I think, against some of our peers. We don't simply look at macro risks as a side issue to our core portfolio management. Focusing on macro drivers for risks and opportunities is absolutely core to our process. And then finally, it's the portfolio construction and the way that we curate the portfolio, which is absolutely core to what we do and core to our competitive advantage. First and foremost, we have to find good ideas, but it's really the way that we put together those different ideas weighted in the portfolio, thinking very heavily about downside risk all the time within those individual themes, And then thinking about risk of the combined portfolio because of the way it's made up with those individual themes. In other words, thinking about how the correlation risks are going to look and thinking about how the linkages between those different themes are going to look and interact with each other. And so, you know, I would say that that focus on downside risk, first and foremost, is our key differentiator from a lot of our peers. One, you know, just to branch or to dive into a couple of our examples, one example on the long side, which has been a really interesting investment for us and continues to be, is uranium. We first put uranium in the portfolio in 2018. It was identified as what we call a classic supply and demand imbalance situation. Supply and demand imbalance situations are really interesting places for us to look for investment opportunities. And we estimated that we're going to see the uranium market move from being in surplus to deficit at some point when we first looked at it in 18, roundabout now, between 22 and 23. So we're actually right on the interesting point of that. Typically, when we invest in themes that typically last 1 to 5 years, and uranium could well endure past that.
Understood, Kenny. You know, thank you so much for sharing more about the strategy, and I hope, you know, the examples that you've shared gives our audience today a little bit of glimpse into how what this strategy is all about. And, you know, congratulations on your performance thus far. Now, I would like to also take this chance to kind of speak about where bonds and equities are today. If you look at how they have performed, essentially year to date, equities are down. If you look at global equities index MSCI World, it is down more than 20%. The global investment grade index represented by the Bloomberg global aggregate is down also double digits. So clearly there's a high degree of correlation that we're seeing. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, the behavior between bonds and equities right now kind of is counterintuitive to the whole concept of the 60-40 portfolio, which is premised on the fact that bonds are supposed to have diversification benefits in a portfolio of equities. And clearly, that's not what we are seeing today. Now, over at Lighthouse at Canton, it is important to stress that when we construct portfolios for our clients, one of the key philosophy that we have is to ensure that the assets that we place in our clients' portfolios are minimized. Right. So speaking about correlation, I can't help but notice that your fund has a correlation of close to zero, which is, again, fantastic, because by placing your fund in our clients' portfolios, we essentially allow ourselves to diversify the portfolio a lot. Right. So what do you have to say about, you know, your thoughts on the correlation, on the low correlation that your fund has to global equities?
Thanks, TJ. So I think the reason we're uncorrelated to global equity markets, and actually not only are we uncorrelated to global equity markets, we're uncorrelated to nearly every major asset class, including commodities, bonds, and equities, obviously, and indeed other equity long short hedge fund managers. The reason we end up being uncorrelated are twofold. First, it's around our portfolio construction objectives and techniques, which I did allude to in the my last comments. And when we think about portfolio construction, it's about putting together a collection of ideas which don't all correlate together and don't all have the same linkage risk. I can't overemphasize how important this is and how much time we spend thinking about it, and thinking about it not so much from the opportunity subset, but from the risk subset of those different themes in the portfolio. Second reason that we're uncorrelated is that we, in addition to putting together a group of themes where we spend a lot of time thinking about how those different risks will interact with each other, is that we spend a lot of time also thinking about market risk in general. And so we're always very, very focused on downside risk. And that focus on downside risk has given us some pretty exceptional numbers. On months where the global MSCI has a down month, it has return minus 3.44%. And in those equivalent months, we've returned positive 2%. And so that is the second reason that we end up uncorrelated, that when markets are difficult, we typically do well.
Very interesting points that you've mentioned, Kenny. And I think in the interest of time, maybe what we can do now is to move on to hearing your views about the markets going forward. So now that we are in the second half of the year, you know, we are seeing core inflation pressure starting to build. And not only that, as I've mentioned earlier at the start of this call, quantitative tightening is accelerating. So my question to you, Kenny, is do you foresee a recession in the next 6 to 12 months? And if so, how do you intend to express your views on markets?
Yeah, look, it's that's a great question, TJ. I'm not going to dodge the question, but I do believe very firmly that we don't necessarily have any amazing predictive power, and that is not, we specifically believe we're unsure of what the future is. And so what we try and do is build a portfolio which will endure through different market regimes in case we're wrong. Now, having said that, we do spend a fair bit of time thinking about what type of broad market regime we're in and what are the risks in the event that we're wrong on assessing that broad regime. When we think about those broad regimes, we think there's only three. And although this seems rather simplistic, it really helps us think about risk. So the three regimes were ultimately run by the Federal Reserve, who provide liquidity to global markets. And the first regime is when they're providing liquidity through accommodative interest rates. And under those environments, typically that's favourable for equity earnings and valuations, and you're in some sort of bull market. The second regime is when they're withdrawing liquidity, and their decision about whether they're going to be providing or withdrawing liquidity is driven by their mandate, which is maintaining employment and low inflation. Clearly, at the moment, they're focused on inflation, hence they're withdrawing liquidity. Hence, it's not a favourable environment for equities from an earnings perspective, and follow on from that is from a valuation perspective. The third regime is what we call a major risk-off situation. They're very rare. We spend a lot of time looking for them. I've probably predicted 10 of every one major crashes that we've had, always looking for risks that don't often eventuate. In my nearly three decades in markets, I've only seen five major risk-off events. You could call that COVID, 08, 2000, 98, and 94. So excluding the third risk-off regime, we really need to focus on two. Right now, we're clearly in the second one. And, you know, the commencement of quantitative tightening coupled with the, you know, the anticipation of a rise in interest rates has definitely drained liquidity from global markets. And we're seeing that at an accelerated pace right now, which is not supportive backdrop for risk assets. And we think as a result of that, that you've got to be cautious, and hence we're running not so much any market exposure, but focusing on both our long and our short opportunities. One example on the short side, which we're looking at in this environment, is a short we have on private asset managers. Private asset managers are terrific businesses. They've done very, very well in the last decade, particularly the last 5 years. But some of this has been as a result of accommodative liquidity, which has been provided by the Fed, and that regime has now changed. And as a result of that, the low dispersion of earnings, which they've had over the last 5 years, which has resulted in higher valuations, is likely to come under pressure. Both those things in combination will lead the share prices down. And so we're short those names with the intention of making profits as as their earnings estimates fall, and hence that's followed by valuation falls.
So Kenny, I think just an extension of to what we are talking about right now, it is quite clear that you have the view that the current macroeconomic dynamics is likely to create more volatility for equities. And my sense is, in this type of environment, I'm not sure if you agree with me, but I do feel that dispersion could also go up, which essentially means the gap between winners and losers in equity markets are likely to widen. So Accordingly, how do you think this will affect your fund's ability to generate alpha and why?
Well, I agree with you. If we're moving into a different regime, then the underlying earnings dispersion of the future is probably going to be higher than it was in the past. And the underlying earnings dispersion or volatility is ultimately reflected in individual share price returns and asset class returns. And so it's fairly reasonable to me, and I totally agree with you, that we're going to see dispersion and volatility increase. Now, when there are periods of high volatility, then there are different investment opportunities to what you would get in a low volatility environment. It doesn't necessarily mean you make more money. It means there are larger opportunities to make larger losses and larger gains. But there is absolutely no doubt that changing regimes bring about very, very interesting opportunities. And I can say that, you know, we're extremely excited about the opportunities which we see in the new regime. But those opportunities are not just on the long side, they are on long and the short side. So assuming that we are right on our longs and our shorts, and there's absolutely no doubt that, you know, over time we will generate more alpha in a more volatile environment. Obviously, that is dependent on our ability to identify those opportunities. But, you know, as I've just said, we certainly feel very confident that there's some interesting opportunities developing out there, and they are newer opportunities which wouldn't have existed in a different regime.
Thanks, Kenny. And you know, I'm in complete agreement with you that the uncertain backdrops for equity provide a very rich opportunity set for managers like yourself to essentially identify mispriced asset. And, you know, this is a key reason why our team over at Lighthouse prefers to allocate to long-short strategies right now, rather than taking full-on beta risk, which seems quite premature at this stage. Like what you rightly mentioned earlier, the fact that we are heading into pretty much uncharted waters and there's just so much uncertainty does not bode well for a long-only approach. So completely agree with you on that front. I think we are approaching the end of today's podcast. So I'd like to take this chance to thank you once again for taking time off to share your valuable insights with our listeners. And once again, our heartiest congratulations on a fantastic year so far. We would like to wish you continued success for many more years to come. And over to our audience, please feel free to reach out to the team should you have any questions regarding the content covered in the podcast today, or if you require more information on Unknown Opportunities Fund. Thank you, Kenny.
Thanks, TJ, and thanks everybody for listening in. Your time is valuable and we certainly appreciate everyone taking the time to listen. And thanks very much, TJ, for hosting us and your ongoing support. It's, you know, we have no doubt that it's a tricky market environment, but as I mentioned, we're really excited about the opportunities. We'll continue to work hard with you guys to find them. So thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning into the Lighthouse Canton Insights podcast. We hope you have found these conversations insightful. To hear more conversations from more experts, please do subscribe to the Lighthouse Canton's Insights podcast. You can also stay up to date with Lighthouse Canton's latest news and insights by visiting our website at www.lighthouse-canton.com or social media pages. We look forward to having you again in the next episode. This podcast has been prepared by Lighthouse Canton Private Limited and all its affiliates. For informational purposes only, there is nothing contained in this podcast that constitutes advisory services. This podcast shall in no event constitute or be considered as advice to invest in any specific investment or investment class, vehicle, or in financial instrument. The information contained in this podcast shall not be considered as legal, tax, financial, or other advice. You should consult a professional to obtain specific advice regarding financial, legal, regulatory, tax, and other regulations applicable to you. You should consult a financial advisor authorized in your jurisdiction before making any investment decision to ensure that you fully understand the products and potential risks involved. Please visit www.lighthouse-canton.com/podcast for more details.